Chapter number two. It looks like we have good sound. Today we're going to continue in our study in 1 Corinthians chapter number two. We should be able to finish chapter number two and then get into chapter number three this morning. This morning we're going to talk about he that is spiritual. He that is spiritual. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to go ahead and pick up your Bibles now and open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter number two. And we're going to continue our study here at verse 12. We spent most of our time last week at verse 12 and verse 13, and we want to continue here and then finish up this chapter and see if we can't get over to chapter number 3. So let's get going this morning. And he that is spiritual is the topic. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What the Apostle Paul, of course, is attempting to do, purposing to do here with the Corinthians, is to reorient their thinking so that they will place their confidence and trust in the wisdom of God rather than in the wisdom of men. And by doing so, that is, by placing their confidence and trust in the wisdom of God rather than in the wisdom of men, they will be able to go on unto spiritual maturity. The reason why they are remaining spiritually babies, carnal, is because they're placing their confidence, their trust, their belief in the wrong source, the wrong place. If you look what he says over in chapter 3, look what the Apostle Paul says over in chapter 3 at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Even at this late date, and what I mean this late date, what I mean is that the Apostle Paul, when he was at Corinth, he was there for at least a year and a half, plus a good while, it says in Acts chapter number 18. And then the Apostle Paul leaves there. And then after the fact, along about Acts chapter number 19, when Paul is at Ephesus, that's when he's writing this book of 1 Corinthians. And so a good while has gone by since the Apostle Paul had not only personally been with, but personally instructed the Corinthians, and yet they are still remaining, as he says here, carnal. Chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal. What was it that was holding them back? What was it that was really the cause of them remaining spiritually babies, spiritually immature, instead of going on into maturity? And of course, the reason was that they were placing their confidence and trust in the wrong source of information. They were having confidence and trust in the wisdom of men rather than in the wisdom of God. They were believing what man's wisdom taught them about spiritual things instead of simply believing what God's Word said. It really is that simple. If you will go back to chapter number 2 now, we've seen the great contrast here. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We had the spirit of the world, but God gave us His Spirit. Why? Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. God, the moment we trusted Christ, God gave us the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons was so that we would believe what He's telling us. And we need to make sure that as we study God's Word and as we think about things, that we are thinking about them from the standpoint of what God's Word says. Look again at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words. See that? W-O-R-D-S. We talked about this last time. W-O-R-D-S. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We've got to be real careful, friends, that when we are believing and trusting in and having confidence in, whatever it is that we're believing and trusting and having confidence, we got to be careful and make sure that we're believing it because the words on the page of the Word of God says so. It's that simple. As compared to having trust in, believing in, having confidence in what man's wisdom says about religious things, about spiritual things. Friends, if your heart is not true to the Scripture, if your heart is not right towards the Scripture, if you're not going to let the Scripture alone be the final authority, then you won't really see, you won't have the discernment to know when and where it is that you're trusting man's wisdom instead of God's Word. I mean, after all, most all Christian people say, oh, well, we believe the Bible. But the fact is they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the words. The words on the page are not the issue with most of them. Their tradition is, whether it's Protestant or Catholicism tradition, whatever it might be, rather than just trusting the words of God. So, verse 12, we already have the spirit of the world. Don't believe that. Don't trust that. We got the Spirit of God. Why? Verse 13, so we could know the things that are freely given to us of God. That was verse 12. And God, the Holy Spirit, teaches using His words. The very words on the page, on the pages of God's Word, the Bible. Now, if you look at verse 13, we want to talk this morning about He that is spiritual. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now watch this. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We ended last week with that little phrase right there. We briefly introduced it, and I mentioned that we were going to talk about it more today, which we're going to do now. Notice again, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Usually, when you hear that verse interpreted, you'll hear it explained that what that verse is talking about is to be a good Bible student and to be spiritually minded, you need to compare spiritual things with spiritual things, i.e. verse with verse, verse with verse. Now, that is a true statement. It is a true statement that when you study the Bible, you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture, verse with verse. And there are a number of reasons why you got to do that, but one of the most obvious is that the Scripture will teach you the Scripture. The Bible will teach you the Bible. The Bible is its own self-interpreting system. Its own self-internal interpreting information. And so the Bible, it's a true statement that when you study the Bible, you've got to compare verse with verse. That is a true statement. While it is a true statement, however, I don't think that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in this particular verse. Okay? When the Apostle Paul says here comparing spiritual things with spiritual, he doesn't actually say comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and then there's a period. And so you want to ask the question, comparing spiritual things, okay, what are those, with spiritual what, or spiritual who? And you pretty much get the answer. I mean, it's clear in the context. Look at verse 14. But the natural man, and then verse 15, but he that is spiritual. And then chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. See the repeated reference to spiritual there? When he says at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, the last phrase, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, the second use of the word spiritual in verse 13, when he says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, he's talking about a spiritually minded believer. He's talking about one described in verse 15, he that is spiritual. He's talking about one that he's describing in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. You see that idea there? When he says back at verse 13 comparing spiritual things, then the first use of spiritual there, when he says spiritual things, what are the spiritual things he's talking about? Well, jump back to verse 9. He says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things, notice that there, which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So by the time he gets down to verse 13, when he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things, he's talking about the things of God, the things of God that God has revealed to you and me today through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Once again, at the end of verse 13, the spiritual things that he's talking about are the deep things of God that God has revealed to and through the Apostle Paul for you and me today. The specific details about what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. For you and me today, we find that, of course, detailed in the writings of the Apostle Paul. So when he says at verse 13, comparing spiritual things, he's talking about the things that God is doing in this dispensation as revealed and explained and exposed and manifested in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, for you and me today. And then he says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, that is a spiritually minded believer. To put it maybe a little bit of a different way is this. When you read God's Word, every time you read God's Word, let me have you compare a verse. Hold that verse there, 1 Corinthians, and go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, if you would. And notice Hebrews chapter number 4 at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it says this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And now watch the next phrase. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See that? The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we come to the Scripture and we read the Scripture is actually reading us. The Scripture is actually discerning the thoughts and intents of our heart. You see, when you read the Scripture, it is exposing what's in your heart. It's exposing your thoughts. It's exposing your intentions, your purposes. Isn't that interesting? Let me just give you an example. Look with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let me give you a couple of illustrations of this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 says this at verse 17. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, there's a great deal of discussion about that verse, as well as a great deal of discussion about baptism. The Apostle Paul, our apostle, says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. In fact, it's very clear in this chapter that Paul downplays water baptism quite significantly. Paul was at Corinth for at least a year and a half, plus a good while, and he can say, you know, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Paul, in the whole time he was there at Corinth, Paul just would not have made a very good Baptist or Roman Catholic for that matter. He would not have made a very good Methodist or Lutheran, any of that stuff. He would not have made a very good Calvinist. I mean, he wasn't baptizing these people. And I mean, Paul would have got fired real quick from the Baptist community because Paul clearly downplayed baptism here. And the whole time he was at Corinth, he says, they only remember baptizing just the household of Stephanus and a few more. So Paul maybe baptized 20. I mean, even if you say on the outside, even if you say Paul baptized 50, look at the contrast here. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Watch the contrast here. I want you to get the significance of this. Go to Acts chapter number 2, hold 1 Corinthians. Acts chapter number 2. The Apostle Peter says to the nation of Israel here on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, he says at verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now jump ahead to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen to this, friends. In one day, they baptized 3,000 souls. In one day, there in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Paul is at Corinth for at least a year and a half, and he doesn't even remember baptizing maybe 15, maybe 20, even if you say 50, and you can't say that because there's no evidence he baptized near that many. I mean, friends, you know what? Paul clearly is downplaying baptism. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Now here's the illustration. Here's the example. You come to the Scripture is going to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. If we come to the Scripture and want to uphold something that is scriptural but not dispensational for this dispensation, i.e. water baptism, then when we come to a verse like this, we're going to have to justify the maintenance and the upholding of our water baptism over the fact that Paul says Christ sent me not to do it, and over the fact that in Ephesians 4 he says there's only one baptism today, and that one baptism is whereby the God, the Holy Spirit, baptized us into the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? So the Word of God is going to discern our heart. It's going to discern what's our intent, what's our motive. And this is just one simple example of it. Whereas, let's say that you were brought up in a Baptist denomination, or maybe you've been preaching baptism all these years and you've kind of wondered about it and so forth. You know what you could do right now? You could come to a conclusion. You could come to a decision on something. It will affect a lot of other things. But what it'll do, it's going to produce some light. Let's say you've been hanging on to baptism. Let's say you, whether you think you have to be baptized to get saved, or you have to get baptized because you are saved, or whatever reason that you think somebody ought to be baptized. What if instead you just go, wait a minute now. My apostle, the apostle Paul, said this. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So my apostle says, you know what? As he thought about the commission given to him for this dispensation for you and me today, it's pretty clear that water baptism is not a part of it. Water baptism has passed off the scene, just like circumcision has passed off the scene. It's just simply not for this dispensation, friends. Either to get saved or because you're saved. It just is not part of this dispensation. And so what is happening here when you read these verses are discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you want to uphold something that was scriptural, i.e. baptism is definitely scriptural. It's in the Bible, and so is offering blood sacrifices, and so is building an ark, and so is circumcision. But just because something is scriptural, that does not necessarily mean it is dispensationally correct for the dispensation in which you live. So as you read these verses, you have an opportunity to say, you know, Lord, my apostle said Christ sent me not to baptize. So water baptism clearly must have passed off the scene. It's not a part of the dispensation of grace. And the one baptism that matters is the baptism of Romans 6, the baptism whereby we were baptized into the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So by faith, that's what I'm going to believe. Boom! There's a spiritually minded believer. See, when you study the Scripture, when you think through the Scripture, and you let the Scripture be right, despite religious tradition or otherwise, that's a spiritually minded believer. So when you look back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, the only way that God the Holy Spirit is going to be able to teach us, and when I say it this way, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit's lack of ability. It's not a lack of ability on His part. It's a lack of openness and reception on our part. The only way that God the Holy Spirit is going to be able to teach us the things that are freely given to us of God is that we have got to be completely open to the words on the page of God's Word, and specifically in Paul's epistles, to being the direct information that is directly to you and about you and for you and me today in this dispensation. Let me try to say that in a simple way. more simply if I can. And it is just this. God the Holy Spirit teaches by taking the words that He gave to the Apostle Paul, that you and I have written down in the Word of God, in Scripture, and they're right there on the page in front of you when you read it. And you're either going to believe it or you're not. It's that simple. You're either going to trust what it says or you're not going to trust what it says. You're either going to believe what it says or you're going to come up with, well, but wait a minute now. Let me give you another example. Look over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter number 3. Again, this is an example that happened just recently. Romans chapter number 3, verse 28. He says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I was talking with an individual about the fact that salvation was by grace through faith. And I showed him that verse right there. And of course their response is, well, yes, but... See, what did it just do? What did their response just demonstrate? Their response just demonstrated that they were not willing to rest in what the words on the page said as being the Word of God, as being what God says about the issue. They were not willing to believe that. And the reason is because they just had too much other religious stuff in mind that was preventing them from believing what the truth of God's Word said here. They were trusting the religion, they were trusting the Christian religion instead of trusting what the Bible says. He that is spiritual, he that is spiritual, that is a reference to an individual, hopefully you, a reference to an individual that just lets the Word of God be right. That in the privacy of their own heart, they just let the Word of God be right all the time, no matter what. It's just right. That's just the bottom line. You perhaps have heard Brother Jordan's message, Pastor Jordan from Chicago there. He's got that message. Oh, I think he preached it years ago. He should preach it again. You might want to email him and ask him to preach it again. But it's a message entitled, The Trouble with the Bible. And the trouble with the Bible is that it's always right. That's why people don't like the Bible, okay? Because it's always right. And a right heart attitude to the Scripture is a heart attitude that will approach the Scripture and says, listen, this is God's sacred, holy, blessed Scripture. And it's always right. And I'm going to trust it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to rest in what it says. And I'm going to let God the Holy Spirit teach me. I'm going to take the things that He says in His Word and believe what they say and let Him edify me. Now, too many people, if you look back over to 1 Corinthians 2:14, too many Christian people, too many people, I should say, who profess to be Christians, who profess to know the Lord and carry Bibles or what they call Bibles and go to religious churches, Christian churches, too many people are trying to understand the things of God by using their natural man, their own intellectualism and human wisdom. But the Word of God says this, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Too many Christian people are attempting to figure things out by using the natural man. And that's why they have so many objections to what God's Word actually says. Again, like this gentleman that I was talking to and so forth. We would look at some verses, and he would go, well, yeah, but. So we'd look at some more verses. And we'd go, well, yeah, but what about this? And so we'd look at some more verses. Well, yeah, but what about that? What this gentleman was doing, like most Christian people, and this guy was taught by Christians, what he was doing is he was attempting to think through these issues on the basis of using the natural man. Look back at verse 12. Look what the natural man has. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. See, that's what the natural man already has. You and I as natural men, you and I as sons of Adam, we have the spirit of the world. And if we attempt to understand things and believe things and rest things on the basis of the natural man's ability to figure things out, you will never get it. Verse 14 very clearly says, but the natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Christian community, since the days of the Apostle Paul to this day, the problem is they're using the natural man to try to figure things out. Human wisdom, intellectualism, their own ability to think and reason, instead of simply letting God's Word tell them how to think. You see, the problem with using the natural man, go back to verse 17 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 17, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, that's what the natural man uses, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, what? Foolishness. The natural man and the lost man think exactly alike. The natural man of the believer and a lost man think exactly alike. The things of God are foolishness, both to the lost man and to the natural man of the believer. And hence, the preaching of the cross is to both the natural man of the believer and the lost man. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to both. See, you and I as believers, we still possess that natural man. That's our old sin nature that we have left over from Adam, from our identification to him. That we still have that natural man. And with the Corinthians here, the reason that they were and remained where they were spiritually is because they were trying to figure things out based upon the natural man. They were being instructed by these 10,000 instructors who were instructing them on the basis of human wisdom, and the natural man goes for human wisdom. The natural man loves human wisdom. But look at what God's view about human wisdom is. Chapter 1, verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see that there? The Apostle Paul tells us here that in God's wisdom, chapter 1, verse 21, that God, in His wisdom, fixed it. So that man, in his own wisdom, could never figure out the things of God. It's going to take the Spirit of God, who knows the things of God, to be able to teach us the things of God. But the Corinthians, they had the Spirit of God, but they still had that old sin nature, that natural man. The natural man goes for, loves, is impressed with, trusts in, has confidence in the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of man. And the Corinthians were trusting in that. And you know what, friends? It's exactly where the church is today. They're just like the Corinthians today. They're using the natural man to try to figure God out. They're using the natural man to try to figure God's Word out. They're using the natural man to try to figure out what's going on. But you're told very clearly in verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Have you ever want, those of you who understand this grace message, those of you who understand the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul, and you've got some convictions about it, you ever wondered why it is that the vast, vast majority of Christian people just are not even open to considering these things? These verses are telling you why. That's exactly what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 is explaining why the Corinthians were not getting the mystery, why they were not seeing it, why they were not discerning it, why they were not rejoicing in it. And it's exactly where the church is today. It's because they're using the natural man to try to figure out the Word of God. And it will not work. It doesn't work. You're told very clearly at chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The reason that people don't get the mystery, the reason that I'm talking about Christian people, not talking about the lost people, I'm talking about saved people, at least people who profess to be saved, but people that you know, people that have professed to trust the blood of Christ, they're religious people, they even carry a Bible or a so-called Bible and so forth. The reason they don't get the mystery, the reason they don't see it, friends, is because they're attempting to see it on the basis of the natural man. They're having trust and confidence in what the Christian religion says is going on in the Bible instead of letting what Paul tells us is going on be what's going on. I used the illustration last time, and let me just mention it again. Remember in the early Acts period when Peter and the other apostles were preaching to Israel, and yet most of Israel was still off in rebellion? And especially the leaders of Israel, they were listening to the wisdom of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one who was had in reputation among all the people, and to him gave the people witness and credence. They listened to the wise counsel of a wise counselor named Gamaliel, as compared to listening to the wisdom of God from Peter and the other apostles. Now, when you read and you study what Gamaliel said, man, it sounded good. It sounded wise. It sounded brilliant. It sounded like, you know, just exactly had to be the truth. But before that, they heard from Peter, and it was God the Holy Spirit was just speaking through the mouth of Peter. So they had a choice to make. They either had to listen to what Peter said and discount what Gamaliel said, or trust what Gamaliel said, which sounded good, and thereby discount what Peter said. And that's what they chose, by the way. But what an incredible illustration of this very point. They were making up their mind and decision based upon the natural man. In their case, the lost natural man. Well, of course, the natural man's always lost, but all right. Too many Christian people are in a similar situation. Too many Christian people are, in fact, they're in the same situation. They're not having to discern between Gamaliel and Peter. The problem is they're being taught by all these 10,000 instructors in the Christian community today rather than listening to what Paul says. Look at what the Word of God says. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at what this says here. Look at 2 Timothy 2:7. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. If you'll take and consider what Paul says, and let it be right, let it be the Word of God, which he says it is the Word of God, let it be what Christ says, because Paul says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, if you'll take and consider what Paul says and let it be right, that is how the Lord gives you understanding in all things. The church today, they'll read Paul, they'll read the Scripture, but then they hold confidence and trust in what human wisdom says about Scripture. Look with me again over to 1 Corinthians 14. Go over to 1 Corinthians 14 here. And notice how Paul again picks up this issue about spiritually minded believer. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says this: if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, there it is again, he that is spiritual, see that? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, then let him be ignorant. See, that was Paul's viewpoint of it. A spiritually minded believer is someone who will acknowledge Paul's ministry and say, you know what, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ says for this dispensation. That's what a spiritually minded believer, that's what he that spiritual will do. That's how you know somebody that is spiritual. They'll acknowledge the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul for you and me today. Look what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 4:14. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Now think about that. These Corinthians had all these instructors in Christ, and yet, go back to chapter number 3, verse 3. Tell you what, make it verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Wait a minute. If these guys have all these multitudes, these 10,000 instructors at Corinth, why are they still carnal? If these 10,000 instructors were teaching them the truth, were teaching them God's Word, were teaching them that which they need to go into maturity, then why are they still carnal? You see, it's pretty clear that these instructors were not teaching them the right thing. They were teaching them man's wisdom, and they were using the natural man to try to figure things out and try to explain things and discern things. Back to chapter 4, back to chapter number 4, at verse 15, he says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me for this cause. The cause is to be a follower of Paul. He says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. See that? Paul is going to send Timotheus to the Corinthians to get them back on track with the edification process. And the way he's going to seek to accomplish that is to bring the Corinthians back into remembrance of Paul's ways, because that's what they got away from. The solution for the Corinthians, just like the solution for the church today, is to be brought back into the remembrance of Paul's ways. God, you know, we need men who are going to go and bring the saints back into remembrance of Paul's ways, which be in Christ, as he taught in every church. See what's going on there? Isn't that amazing? The reason that the church today is spiritually where it is, and where they are, they're the Corinthians. They're carnal Corinthians and so forth. That's where the church is today, is because they're attempting to discern the things of God by using the natural man, instead of letting God's Word, the Scripture, teach them. It's that simple. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So friends, don't try to figure out the things of God using your natural man. Oh, I implore you, friends, abandon the natural man. That's a natural man in a saved person. That's not a lost man in that verse, friends. Now, a lost man is not going to figure things out either. But Paul's writing to the Corinthians. These guys are saved people, but they're carnal. And the reason that they've remained carnal Christians all these years is that they're tending to figure out things by the natural man. They're being impressed with human wisdom instead of with God's Word. He says at verse 14 again, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, there it is, that's a spiritually minded believer. A spiritually minded believer is one who will let the Word of God, the very words on the page of God's Word, he will let those words be right all the time. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He's able to discern because the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yet he himself is judged of no man. He's judged by the Word of God. The Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then verse 16 says this, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Well, what's the answer to that question? When Paul says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" You ever wondered about the answer to that question? He's already told us the answer. Look at back at verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." So when Paul asks the question in verse 16, it's kind of a rhetorical question. He's already told him the answer. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Well, the answer is the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God knows the mind of the Lord. And it's the Spirit of God that you and I, when we trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone for our Savior, that we received. And the Spirit of God will teach us using the words of God. That's what Scripture is. It's the very words, the W-O-R-D-S of God. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," W-O-R-D, "but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." That, listen, inspiration is a reference to what God said, those very words being written down. That's what Scripture is, friends. When I at these Bible studies in our church, when I say open your Bible, open your Scripture, friends, I mean that. I'm not being religious and highfalutin and whatever you want to call it and sacrimonious and whatever that word is. This is the Scripture. This is what God said. These are God's words. And verse 16 says, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" And then it says at verse 16, "But we have the mind of Christ." That is one amazing statement. You see, we have the mind of Christ. Where? In the Word of God. That's what the mind of Christ is. You and I possess the mind of Christ. How? That's what the Scripture is. The Scripture is the mind of Christ. It's a written record of how he thinks, what is important to him, what he's doing, what brings glory and honor to him, what he wants us to do. That's what the Scripture is. When Paul says we have the mind of Christ, he's not talking about your brain or my brain or even the content in your brain and my brain necessarily. He's talking about the Word of God, Scripture. Now, if you'll take Scripture and put it in your mind, well, then that is how you get the mind of Christ, you know, the Scripture into your mind, into your heart, and so forth. But the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians here, guys, we have the mind of Christ. We've got it. It's the Scripture. He's imploring them. He's telling them. He's beseeching them. He's instructing them. Listen, you guys, the reason that you're not going on to spiritual maturity, the reason that you're remaining spiritually carnal is because you're trusting the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man is not the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord, when Paul says we have the mind of Christ, remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ himself personally manifested himself and revealed himself to the Apostle Paul and taught the Apostle Paul and gave to the Apostle Paul the information that he not only taught but wrote down. That's why for you and me today, Paul says that if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What Paul wrote down is what Christ told him to write down. What Paul wrote down, in Paul's writings, you have the mind of Christ directly to you and me and directly to us and about us today in this dispensation. The whole Bible is the mind of Christ, Genesis to Revelation. All of that is a written record of his word, but specifically what is directly to you and me today and about you and me today is found in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. It's a simple principle, friends. All the Bible's for us, Genesis through Revelation, but it's simply not all directly to us, or is it all directly about us? I mean, that's just so simple to understand. What God is doing today in this dispensation of His grace is found specifically in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. Now then, I can tell we're out of time. I don't know where the time goes each week. I guess it goes the same way, same place it always goes every time we study. But at any rate, we're out of time this morning. We always like to open this up for questions and answers about our study today.